My name is Thomas Hawkins. I'm a full-time missionary with Rock of Ages. This is my wife, Stephanie. Our children, Vivian, Isolina, and Garrison. And I'm glad they're with me tonight and glad for this opportunity. Appreciate you, Pastor, letting us come this way. We have now, as a family, been with Rock of Ages. It was actually 6 years ago, 2 weeks, that we were accepted with the Rock of Ages ministry. So we've now been with the ministry 6 years, and the Lord has blessed over the last 6 years. We've been actually working with Rock of Ages for a total of 10 years prior to 11 years. Prior to becoming full-time missionaries with Rock of Ages, we volunteered for 5 years, especially at the South Carolina Blitz, and labored there. And we thank the Lord for what He allowed us to do as far as coming with the ministry. If you're familiar, as you already know, Rock of Ages is a prison ministry. It was started back in 1977, originally as a tape ministry, and some of those tapes started going into the state of Florida, into the prisons there. And some of the inmates got a hold of it, listened to those things. Some of the officials got a hold of it, and they made the request to our ministry, said, why don't you guys come in and conduct a revival meeting inside of the prison? And so some of those men got together and started to do that, and so the Rock of Ages went into the prisons back in 1977 for the first time, and from those first meetings, the Rock of Ages prison ministry was founded. And over the last 45 years, we've seen over 900,000 men and women trust Christ as Savior that we know of, and we thank the Lord for that and the souls that have been saved. For our part, how we kind of got involved with Rock of Ages, I was saved when I was 16 years old and called to preach when I was 22 years old. Began to work in the local church there that I was out of. Began to help my pastor teach Sunday school, different avenues, things like that. And it was 11 years ago this summer, a missionary by the name of Steve Gregory. Brother Gregory's been with Rock of Ages for well over 30 years now. He came to our home church, presented the ministry. As me and my wife's habit was, we took the missionary out to eat that night. And we were in the Cracker Barrel there in Salisbury, North Carolina, and Brother Gregory looked across the table, and he asked me this question. He said, have you ever considered going to prison? Of course, I looked at him and told him, no, I had never considered that. But he began to tell us about the South Carolina Blitz. It's a big meeting Rock of Ages does in Columbia, South Carolina every year. And me and my wife, we prayed about it. We thought that'd be something we'd like to do. And so we walked into our first ever Rock of Ages revival meeting there in Columbia, South Carolina. And as I said, for the next 5 years, we'd leave that meeting asking each other the question, is this what God has called us to do on a full-time basis? And in the summer of 2015, He gave us the green light to do that. Rock of Ages has a broad avenue, if you will, of missionary service. A lot of people, when they hear Rock of Ages, they think, well, if we support one, we support everything that the ministry does. But that's not true. Our ministry has a broad avenue of service. One of the things that our ministry does is we do have foreign missionaries. We have men that go to the foreign fields. They work with national pastors. They work with U.S. missionaries, and they get them interested in going into the prisons there on the foreign fields, working there. Then we have men that labor here in the United States. We have some men that labor as full-time chaplains. They stay at one particular institution and labor in that prison throughout the year, teaching Bible studies, doing counseling, visitation, revival services, all of those things. We also have men that do public school systems. They go in and they teach Character Under Construction, is the title of the lessons they teach. The Lord is using that. We call that prison prevention, trying to reach young men and women with the gospel prior to them messing up and ruining their lives and ended up behind bars. And then we have men like myself who work on revival teams. And I am a revival team coordinator for the state of South Carolina. I have 13 prisons in South Carolina. They're my responsibility to get into those institutions where we do cell-to-cell visitation, soul winning, and then I also preach and moderate revival services there. When I'm not working my prisons, I help out other Rock of Ages missionaries in South Carolina, in North Carolina, in Tennessee, and I also go to Alabama once a year for a big meeting down there. Let me say quickly, my wife as well, she goes into the ladies' facilities, works with the ladies. She teaches. She don't preach or teach. She teaches. Now, she teaches the ladies Bible studies. She deals with the ladies there. When we come in and do revival services, if any lady comes forward at the end of the service, she'll talk to those ladies and deal with those ladies and show them how to be saved or pray with them, whatever's going on. There is one facility that's a private institution that she helps me out. It houses both men and women in it together. And so me and her get to work together in that particular facility. And we thank the Lord for that opportunity there. As you know, COVID has changed things greatly. Unfortunately, the prisons went on lockdown back in March of 2020. They suspended all volunteer services, which is what we are considered to be. And so last year started a challenging year that has not yet ended, if you will. COVID locked them down, and so far the state of South Carolina has not reopened. They still will no longer allow me to come to the prisons. They won't allow me to go into the institutions and things like that. And so last year we started carrying Rock of Ages materials to those chaplains that were there, the ones that were working in the prisons. And so last year we made several trips just taking Bibles and tracts and Rock of Ages printed material. The Lord blessed that. And then also last year we were able to stay in our private prison. I coordinate two private institutions. They're not state funded. They're not state run. They're private prisons. And the Lord blessed last year. We were able to do all four of our revival meetings in one of those private institutions. And we started a special Thursday night services where every other Thursday night we started going into that private institution. And the Lord has blessed that. We have continued there throughout this year. And the Lord has really blessed in those meetings and the revival meetings we've been able to conduct there. And then in North Carolina, kind of in the fall or the late summer of last year, they got approval to do radio broadcast. And so they started going and setting up FM transmitters outside of the prison and transmitting into there. And so we've been working with them on being able to go and do radio broadcast out in the parking lot and preach there. And so we thank the Lord there for those opportunities. Just kind of a quick recap of what we've been doing just over really the last few months. Back in July, we were at Columbia Care. We call it CRCC, the private prison there in Columbia. We had a revival service there, three-day revival meeting. We had 14 services. We had four ladies' Bible studies. We had 201 inmates attend services, and we had eight souls saved at that particular meeting. And then also, we were at Pasquotank, which is out in Elizabeth City. We were down there for 3 days doing a radio broadcast. The Lord really blessed in that avenue. We were able to preach there on three different occasions, and the Lord really blessed those days. And then, in the state of Tennessee has reopened. They are letting ministries come back in, and so in the state of Tennessee, I was able to be there for a three-day revival meeting in Mountain City, Tennessee. We had six services total, two each night. We had 98 men attend the services, and we saw two souls saved there in the month of July. And so July was a wonderful month, being able to be back into those prisons in Tennessee, and we're excited about this avenue. In August, I was back at North Carolina. We were at Avery Mitchell and Mountain View, two different prisons there. We had two services a day, so we had six radio broadcasts. We were back at Columbia Care as well. We had 46 in attendance during that Thursday night meeting. And then also the Lord gave us a great opportunity. This is a Rock of Ages First Responders New Testament. This is something our ministry has come out in recent days, about maybe a year or two old, in South Carolina. We were able to give every highway patrolman one of these last month. We were able to deliver those to the headquarters there in Columbia, and they're distributing those as we speak. And so the Lord has really blessed this. In September, we were supposed to be in three different institutions. But because of sickness through other missionaries, we had two missionaries that ended up being sick. They canceled some meetings, so we were only at Johnson City Correctional. And then this last week, I believe it was not this week, but last week I was at Columbia Care again, and the Lord blessed in those meetings. I would ask you to pray for some things that are upcoming in our ministry. This coming month, in fact, tomorrow night, I will be at a juvenile facility in North Carolina. That juvenile facility has reopened, and the first Rock of Ages revival meeting, a revival team went in there 2 weeks ago, and they were able to have two services, one on each side of that facility. And Lord willing, tomorrow night, just pray. There was some, I got a text today, there may be a little complication, not so much with COVID, but scheduling issues at the facility, but hopefully they'll get all those worked out. Pray that we're able to get in there tomorrow night and do those services. And then on Wednesday, me and my wife will leave and we'll go down to Columbia Care. There, the private institution will be there we'll be there 3 days, conducting revival meetings there in Columbia, South Carolina. And we're excited about that. And then also be going to the state of Tennessee again, this month for a 3-day revival there in the state of Tennessee. And then on this Friday, I had a virtual broadcast. If you're familiar with Zoom or Teams call, I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. I had a Microsoft Teams call lined up to be able to begin to broadcast into a prison in the state of South Carolina. This is the first time we've ever done anything like this. Anybody of our ministry has done anything like this. And my computer crashed and the institution went on lockdown. So it did not happen this Friday, unfortunately. But I've got another one scheduled for the end of the month. I believe it's October 29th. I've got another one scheduled. Just pray. This morning, the Lord provided. We really needed a better computer, and the Lord provided in a big way this morning for a computer. A couple has laid on their heart to buy us a computer that we need, an updated computer for some other things as well. And so we'll have our end ready to go. Hopefully no issues on our end. And just pray that the prison's not on lockdown for any reason. What I understand, this is going to be a statewide thing. And so please pray that this will open up to us. We can do this broadcast. It's kind of a test run to see how it goes, if you will. And so this could lead to some other things as well. And then our ministry is in the process of working on an app. Most prisons now all inmates in South Carolina and a lot of prisons all across the United States, the inmates are receiving tablets now. And so they can go on a tablet and they can now have that app. And we're working on developing a Rock of Ages app. And we're going to try to, if you will, test launch that in the state of South Carolina. I've got over 20-some videos that need to be edited and brought down and put together and all of those different things. And so pray for this new avenue. This is something that could go, that really could reach hundreds of thousands of inmates with just a click of a button, not just in South Carolina. From what I understand, there's 3 or 4 other states that are already lined up to want to do this. And so pray that we can get all this together. We can get all the approval. There's a lot of things there. And so just pray about these things. We are excited about those things moving forward. You may ask, why? Why is there a need to go to prison? Well, unfortunately, the U.S. has the highest incarceration rate in the world, around 2.3 to 2.5 million men and women incarcerated in our country. And those numbers, they're not shrinking tonight. They're only increasing. In fact, if I can find it, my wife, she read an article this morning. We've been doing a lot of research on different things like that. In different avenues of ministry. And this was an article written by, I guess you'd say, a secular company that's working on these tablets. But they put this article out there. They said there are over 2 million people serving time. My statistics say it's a little higher. But get this, they said when you count those people on probation and people on parole, there are 6.9 million men and women in our country that are either incarcerated, they're either in jail, they're on parole, or they're on probation. And according to this statistic, 2/3 of people that go to prison reoffend within the 3 years of being released, and more than half are reincarcerated. And you say, well, why is that number so high? Well, we send men and women to prison for what? A reformation. The problem is you can't reform a sinner. A sinner is in need of a transformation. And the Rock of Ages, we're not interested in trying to reform anybody, but we're interested in seeing them transform. And so do pray for us. There's a lot of, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of things that I'm having to learn as far as these computer things, but I believe this is going to be a good avenue for our ministry to labor and a broad avenue of ministry. And again, thank you for coming. I do have some prayer cards back there if you'd like some of those. I'm going to ask my wife to come at this time. If you do have any questions about our ministry, about what we're doing, about how we do things, we'll be glad to answer those questions at the end of the service, and we're glad to be here this evening. Also, again, if you will, as I said, do pray for us. Many things happening as the Lord begins to work in these prisons. We are going to try to go out maybe on Thursday there in Columbia and do a homeless ministry. That is something else that we've done over the last year and a half or so, and the Lord has blessed that. In fact, last time we did this in Columbia, we had one soul saved on the streets there in Columbia. And so just pray about that. We're not exactly sure, weather permitting, if the weather's going to allow us to do that, but that's also another avenue that the Lord has given us. If you will tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1 tonight. And do get a prayer card if you will. And if the Lord ever lays on your heart, you ever feel like you'd like to go with us to prison, our ministry does offer a Rock of Ages training course. It's about a 2.5 hour, 3 hour class. The coordinators, I'd be glad to come and give the class and do the training and show you what that's all about. And you say, well, it might be something I like to do, but I'm not sure, you know, things like that. This is, the class may help you get a better understanding about our ministry, about what our ministry does, how we do things. And once you complete that class, then we move forward in helping you get in touch with whoever you need to get in touch with as far as doing the state facility trainings to get clearance for all of that. And so if the Lord lays that on your heart, maybe ask us about that after service. We'd be glad to answer some questions concerning that as well. The book of Jonah tonight, Jonah chapter number 1. I just want to read verse number 17 tonight. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, in verse number 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you for this pastor and the congregation that is gathered tonight. Father, I pray that you'd please empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. Lord, recall to my mind the things that you would have me to say this evening and help me to do what you've called me to do, and that is preach. Father, I pray for this congregation. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the word of God and be helped and encouraged tonight. Lord, I pray about the situation that they're having to deal with. Lord, you know all about that. You know the heart of the individual, Father, and I pray tonight for that individual. I pray, God, that you would do a work in his life. I pray you'd put a hedge of protection around this place and around this property tonight, Father. I ask, Lord, for that. Thank you now for all your blessings on my family today and the needs that you have met. And again, bless us now in this time of preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Jonah, as we know it, is the story of the prophet Jonah. The Bible would tell us in Jonah chapter number 1, in verse number 1, that the word of the Lord would come unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Verse 3, the Bible says, "But Jonah." I think about the story of Jonah. God would call this man Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and to pray a claim, to proclaim that judgment was coming. This was Nineveh's final warning, their final opportunity, if you will, to turn to the living God. We see in our story in the book of Jonah that Jonah the prophet had other plans. Jonah decided that he was going to flee from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says here that he went down and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof. I'm often reminded of that thought of the "he paid the fare thereof." You know, there is a cost for running with the Lord. I'm reminded in the story the cost that Jonah paid to run from God is not listed. And so when we're running from God, understand that there is a cost and the price is not given. Jonah would try to flee from the presence of the Lord, and the Bible says that the Lord would send a mighty tempest in the sea, so much so that the ship would almost be broken. In verse 5 of chapter 1, we find that even the mariners are afraid. Now, I've been on the ocean on charter boats before. My wife's father built charter boats for many years, and I had the opportunity to be on the ocean, and I've been in some rough seas. And I remember, especially the first time I was out, I used to watch the first mate and the captain. And as long as they weren't worried, I was okay. But I think about if you were on the ocean in a ship and the captain became worried, and those deckhands became worried, I think you would realize real quick you're in a lot of trouble. These men become afraid, and through a series of events, Jonah is finally found out. His sins are found out. In verse 12, Jonah tells the men to cast him into the sea. After a long attempt to ground the ship, and the Bible says that they finally take up Jonah and throw him overboard. That brings us to our text tonight, verse number 17. In verse 17, what we see here is what God is doing behind the scenes. You see, a lot of times we don't see the entire picture. A lot of times we only see part of the story, if you will. A lot of times we only see the physical side of it. We don't see the spiritual side of things. We don't see what God is doing in our life. We don't see how God is orchestrating things. We don't see how God is bringing things to pass. Verse 17, we see that Jonah was in full-fledged flight or running from the Lord. We see that Nineveh, the great city, was in need of warning. And we see, lastly, that God was working. As I said, we do not always see God at work, but we can know for sure that God is at work. I'll be honest with you, there's times in my life where it seems to be dry, where it seems to be stale, when I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and it seems like nothing's happening, nothing's going on. It seems that church has become routine. It seems that prayer time has become dead. But rest assured, God is at work if we'll stay faithful to those things. We see in verse 17, the Bible tells us that God had prepared a great fish. The term prepared in this text means fitted. It means made ready, and it also means provided. God had made this fish or this whale for a specific purpose. He had a specific plan and a specific job. In fact, in Matthew 12 and verse 40, Jesus would call this fish a whale. We see that God had designed and placed this specific animal in this location. The job of this fish was very simple. The first step and the first job was for this fish to swallow Jonah. The second job was to house Jonah for 3 days and three nights. And lastly, it was to deliver Jonah onto dry ground. Let me say tonight that this was a divine fish. It was a heavenly fish. This was no ordinary fish, if you will. Not only that, but it was a God-ordained or appointed fish. God looked down and He saw this fish and He created this fish and He placed this fish and He ordained this fish for the purpose of swallowing Jonah. Not only that, but it was a God-placed fish. It was at the right place at the right time. I don't know how it all went down, but when Jonah hit the water, I think the fish hit Jonah like a largemouth hitting a topwater. He swallowed Jonah up. Then I think about this. This fish was an obedient fish. This fish obeyed its creator. As we begin to think about this great fish tonight, we must understand that prior to swallowing Jonah, the fish was swimming. After swallowing Jonah, the fish was still swimming. After delivering or vomiting out Jonah, if you will, the fish went back to swimming. As I began to think about this, and several years ago, the Lord gave me this thought and this message, I began to think about the story of Finding Nemo. Now, if you don't like Disney, forgive me, but the Lord gave me this through Finding Nemo. There's a portion of that story where you see this clownfish and this other fish and they're out trying to find this clownfish's son where these two fish start singing a tune, "Just Keep Swimming." As I begin to think about this thought tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Just Keep Swimming." Tonight, I'd like to challenge the local body of believers, the local church, to do what God has created you to do and just keep swimming. When troubles come, when storms blow, when you're the only one in the area, when there's good times, when there are bad times, just keep swimming. When there are seasons of life, when there are frustrations, when the fella down the road steals the flags, just keep swimming. Tonight, as we think about this thought of just keep swimming, you say, "Preacher, why should the local church, why should the body of believers just keep swimming?" Well, let me say first of all tonight, you must keep swimming because God has prepared a church. If you look in verse 17, the Bible says He prepared this fish. As God prepared the whale fit for the job of swallowing Jonah, God has prepared the church fit for the job today. It is through the local church that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will go throughout the world. It is through the local church that souls will be saved. It is through the local church that revival to America will come. I don't know when this church was established. I don't know the date it was established. I don't know how long it's been in place. But I know this, that God has fitted this local Bible-believing church for the job in this community. God has given a light house to those men and women who live around this church. God has placed this church to the tourists down by the riverside renting the kayaks and the canoes. God has given this church a place of service. I think about this. The whale swam despite in the failures of others. You know, it's easy for us to think about this church or that church that has failed, or this church or that church that has closed its doors, or this church or that church that has compromised and turned away from biblical truths. But let me say tonight that no matter what others do, act like this fish and just keep swimming. I think about this. Jonah was disobedient to God, but the whale stayed obedient. Sometimes, let me say, men and women are going to fail you because of disobedience. A pastor may let you down. A Sunday school teacher may fail you. A missionary may not do what he says he's going to do. There are those that come into our lives that do not fulfill what they say they're supposed to do. Hey, for me and you, our job is not to examine them. Our job is not to judge them. Our job is not to tear them down. Our job is to just keep swimming. The whale fulfilled his duty to the Lord despite others. Hey, listen, we can get discouraged all we want. I can look at missionaries quitting. I can look at the churches that have dropped us. I can look at churches that don't take us on. I can look at a lot of avenues, but I learned a long time ago to just keep swimming. I say a church may never know what it'll face. It may not understand all that it will go through, but the church can still move forward as a body of believers if it'll just keep swimming. Then let me say, secondly, not only has God prepared a church, but secondly, somebody's counting on you. Somebody's counting on you. I'm not sure what Jonah was thinking when he asked to be thrown overboard, but I do believe that he was counting on the Lord in those moments. I think Jonah probably thought, well, the Lord is either going to save me somehow or I'm going to meet him face to face. I don't know. I don't really know what was going on. The Bible don't say. But I do believe that Jonah, even though he lacked faith, even though he had failed, I believe he had enough understanding that he knew that God had a plan in all of this. Let me say, if the fish was not swimming as God intended it to swim, Jonah would have drowned. But the fish just kept swimming. I say this tonight, there are people everywhere counting on local Bible-believing churches. The church needs and must keep swimming. You say, who is counting on you? Let me say, first of all, tonight, missionaries are counting on you. As I walked through the hall back there to the restroom, I saw missionary cards and missionary letters and things of that nature. Hey, understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Missionaries are counting on you. They're counting on the faith promise dollars. They're counting on the hours in the, on your knees in prayer. They're counting on the other means that God may provide. But missionaries are counting on you. Understand tonight, if this church does not move forward and keep swimming, missionaries are going to struggle. Not only that, but people you are praying for are counting on you. Before the service opened tonight, your pastor asked, were there any prayer requests? Nobody raised their hand, which is fine, but he said, let's pray for the things we prayed about this morning. Hey, I don't know what you've been praying about. I don't know who you've been praying for, but understand this, if you don't keep swimming as a church, who collectively are going to pray for those prayer requests? I think about on Wednesday night, the church that we attend, we gather together and we have prayer meeting and we pray over a prayer list. And listen, if Tabernacle Baptist Church in Salisbury was to stop swimming, who's going to pray for those people? Not only that, but the lost is counting on you. The lost in this community and the lost around the world is counting on you. A community is counting on you to be a light in this area. Consider this tonight. Future generations are counting on you. Hey, listen, ladies, you hold a little youngins in your lap tonight. And those little youngins are counting on Bible-believing churches moving forward in the days to come. Garrison is going to need a pastor one day. Garrison is going to need a wife one day. Garrison is going to need a place of worship one day. My daughters are going to need places to where they can get married and get godly counsel and all of those things. And if the local church don't keep swimming, those things are not going to exist. Let me say tonight that I'm counting on you. I'm not one of your missionaries. I don't know if you'll take me on. I'm not worried about that. I don't know if you'll throw me down the hill when we get done. I don't know if you'll slash my tires. I don't know what you're going to do. But listen, I'm counting on you tonight. Why? Because God opened the door for me to drive down here, to be able to be in a service, to be able to worship with you tonight, to be able to present the ministry, to give you prayer cards that you might pray for us tonight. I say tonight, to stop swimming would bring great loss to someone. Someone is going to drown if the church stops swimming. Then let me say thirdly tonight, you must keep swimming because there's burdens to bear. There are burdens to bear. Consider this, for 3 days and three nights, this fish swam around with a 150 to 200 pound man in his belly. You talking about needing a Pepto-Gizmo moment. That's what this fish had. This fish was under a burden. He was experiencing something that he probably never experienced before. I think about this tonight in Galatians 6 and verse 2. The Bible says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." As a church, you must come together and help bear one another's burdens. I'm thankful this morning that last night and yesterday and Friday, we had a burden. I had a computer that crashed. I needed a new computer with a lot of RAM and a lot of other things that my wife can explain. And we were under a burden. But a local Bible-believing church, a local assembly of people supplied that burden. I say tonight that when we come together as churches, we help bear one another's burdens. I say this, we all have burdens tonight. I don't know about you, and I'll be honest with you, that was just one burden. We still got more burdens, you know? I'm not complaining, but it's the truth, you know? And I guarantee you, every one of us tonight, we have burdens and things that we have to bear. I think about tonight, there are financial burdens in this church, no doubt. There are relationship burdens in this church. There's sickness burdens in this church. There's sorrows in this church. Imagine tonight if you did not have a church family who was willing to bear your burden. I think about tonight, husbands and wives are to bear one another's burdens. Parents are to bear the children's burdens. Friends ought to bear one another's burdens. Church members ought to bear one another's burdens and help your pastor bear whatever load he is bearing. I say tonight that if you stop swimming, if you quit, if you give up, you will no longer be bearing burdens and somebody is going to sink. Then I say, fourthly tonight, considering this keep swimming thought this evening, I say only, not only that, but we not only is there burdens to bear, but there is a story to tell. There's a story to tell. If you look down in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Notice verse 3. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh. I think about this. Jonah had a story to tell. I don't know what Jonah looked like when he got to that city. I've done a little research and I think about how that I've heard of other men that have been swallowed by whales and actually survived. It's historical documentation of whalers that had fallen off whaling ships and been swallowed. And a day or two later, they cut them open and they got them out. They say that their skin was yellow. They say that all their hair had fallen out because of the stomach acid. They say that they had a stink that they couldn't get rid of. I think about old Jonah. When he got there, I guarantee you he was a sight to see. In fact, in chapter 2, it talks about how he had seaweed wrapped around his head. I don't know if he showed up wearing a seaweed on his head or what, but Jonah showed up with a story to tell. He could tell about how he had run from God. He could tell about how he was caught in a storm. He could tell about how he was thrown overboard. He could tell how he was eaten alive. He could tell how he was housed in a whale's stomach. He could tell how a fish spat him out. You could say that he had a whale of a tale, if you will. Could you imagine the story when he got to Nineveh? I say tonight that we need to keep swimming because we have a story to tell. You say, what is the story? The story is Jesus
saves. You must be born again. Flee the wrath to come. The Bible has commanded us to go into all the world. The Bible has compelled us to cause them to come in and hear the gospel of Christ. I say tonight, the story we have to tell is changed men's lives, changed women's lives, and changed children's life. I say tonight, tell how Christ changed you. Tell how Christ redirected your life. Tell how Christ made you a new creature. Tell of His grace. Tell of His mercy. Tell of His love. Tell of His comfort. Tell of His coming again. When asked what's going on down at the church, tell them about Christ. Exalt and magnify the Lord. Hey, listen, you ain't got to tell them that some fella come and stole the flags. You ain't got to tell them that the deacons are mad at the preacher and the choir leader sings off key. You ain't got to tell them how much you don't like the... And you don't, brother. You don't have to tell them about how the Sunday school teacher stinks. You ain't got to tell them about how you don't agree with the financial statement. You just need to tell them about what Christ is doing and done for you at the local church. Then let me say lastly tonight, we must keep swimming because one day the Lord is going to speak to the fish. In chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." I say tonight that after 3 days and 3 nights, God spoke to the fish, and the fish and Jonah were both delivered. I say tonight, for over 2,000 years, the church has just been swimming along. Preachers have been preaching the old, old story for 2,000 years. Teaching of the Word of God has been going forth. Baptizing by immersion has been taking place. Building has been happening. Battling has been taking place. And telling has been going on. But I say soon, the Creator is going to speak to the fish. And Christ is going to call His church home. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I say tonight, the reason we ought to keep swimming, the reason we must keep swimming is because we've not heard the voice yet. But one day God is going to call, and when God calls, that'll be the day we no longer need to swim. So as we close our thought tonight, I leave you with one simple point and one simple thought this evening. As a local Bible-believing body of Christ, I challenge you tonight to simply just keep swimming. Father, thank You for the liberty this evening. Thank You for the power to preach Thy Word. Father, tonight I pray that this local body of believers, this dear pastor, this congregation that is gathered in this place tonight would simply just keep swimming. Just keep serving the Lord. Just to keep depending on the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, may You bless them in a great way tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, if you'll come.